High Book Club members, I'm Jen.
And I'm Carrie.
And this is Warhammer 40k Book Club, where we read from a crag. This is episode number 122, and our book is another Renegades book, Lord of Excess, by Rich McCormick. It tells the misadventure of an emperor's child. I have never figured out what singular for emperor's children is. Emperor's child, Xantine, as he attempts to find pleasure and perfection on an sort of lost imperial world. We posted several questions on our website, wh40kbookclub.com, and we encourage participation in our conversations via YouTube, our site, or Encrypted Vox channel. Spoiler warning, if you haven't read the book yet, definitely check it out, then come listen to this episode, as we'll be talking about this book from start to finish in great detail. With that, let's dive in. As always, Carrie, did you like the book?
That's kind of a loaded question. Because it's well written. I thought he did a really good job of explaining exactly what would happen if the Emperor's children decided, this is our place now. But I hated everybody in it. So.
Okay, I agree with that entirely. I did not. Well, I don't know. And this comes down to the age-old question.
There's a few people on the planet I liked. It's more like I felt sorry for them more than anything else. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah. This is a book where I would say that I enjoyed reading it. I went into this book with very low expectations because I think everyone knows I'm not a really big Emperor's Children fan. So I went in with very low expectations. And so it exceeded them. It actually, I was like, oh, this is enjoyable. I really enjoy this. And I enjoyed reading the book. I enjoyed the story, despite hating every single character. But not, I would say that I didn't, I enjoyed hating them. I wasn't just like, oh, this is a terrible character. It's not like Twilight, where you hate all of the characters because they're just bad characters. These are just bad people.
And then you hate yourself for reading it. And then you're like, and you continue to read it. Yeah.
Well, because you're like, I don't know where this goes. No, I enjoyed my dislike of them. They were well written. I could see how if you were an Emperor's Children fan, these characters are probably everything you wanted the Emperor's Children to be and more. Because I don't like them, they checked all of my boxes.
Right, right.
Like, nope, not having any of that. Ooh.
There was one member of the band that I liked.
Boom.
And that was the Noise Marine. And that's just because he stayed true to himself. You know, he reminded me of, now that I'm thinking about it, in more ways than one. He was freaking Soundwave, right?
Yes, very much so. Actually, that's a pretty good.
He could have had a cassette tape like right there. It would have been perfect. It would have been totally in his idiom. But just, you know, incredibly loyal to the end. You know, yeah, I'll go.
Very much.
I'll go wherever. Just like Soundwave. And I mean like OG Soundwave from the 80s, not whatever's been going on lately.
Or him in the comics. We don't talk about the comics. We're talking about the 80s Soundwave. I really liked him as a character. The thought of the Noise Marines always really turns me off, and I'm not a big fan of them. However, this is the second time a Noise Marine has been, and I feel awful because I can't remember the name of the Noise Marine from the Fabulous Bill series.
I don't remember him either, but
he was, you remember kind of the character,
but he was
though.
The same way, in a way.
Yes. I really like them because in this book too, Vavisk is presented as being in similar in the Josh Reynolds way. And look, I'm not a deep Emperor's Children fan, so maybe the Sound of the Marines were always presented this way. We've kind of moved into what parts stood out to us. Maybe Sound Marines were always this way, but Josh Reynolds was my first exposure to this, and so part of me wonders if that's now the new meta for them. They're straight up heroin addicts. They are, like, they talk about how heroin addicts are forever chasing the dragon, that first high, right? The Noise Marines seem so morose because they're constantly chasing the song of Slaanesh, and they can't ever seem to get to it. So he was another one that I was like, oh, man. And I agree with you. He was gross. So gross.
Oh, yeah. The little mouths they talked about just constantly opening and closing. That's why one part I thought was so funny is when Xantine was like confessing, I guess, to him that he sabotaged the ship. And he said, even all the little mouths stayed closed.
Vavisk was funny. And I loved when Vavisk just said, I know. And he's like, really? And he's like, this isn't the first time and it won't be the last. Like, he was just dutiful to the end. Mm-hmm. And he was a loyal friend. And everybody else was very much as an emperor's child. But I do feel, as though the Noise Marines occupied this new special place, right? They're horrifying, to be clear. They're mm-hmm. absolutely horrifying. They were also like the only ones who didn't really seem to have a problem with the Gene Stealers.
Oh, the Noise Marines?
Mm-hmm. They were just like, mow them down. What other parts stood out to you?
We talked about this earlier today, but it was when Phaedra was just like, who knows where the Patriarch is? And everyone's just like, what? She's like, oh.
She doesn't ask it. Initially, she's just like, not this one, not this one. Like, and you kind of are like, what is she doing?
Yeah, she finds that one guy. She's like, oh, wait, you know something. And she digs out where the Patriarch is. It's like, ah, yes.
Well, I loved that scene because at first everyone in the council member is like, what? Like, they're like, oh, my God, this is so creepy. What is going on? And she's like, you're going to tell me. You have something you want to tell me. And he's like, no, I don't. And she's like, oh, come on. You want to tell me your secret. And everyone's like, what the hell is going on? And then when she goes, tell me where the Patriarch is, everyone's head snaps over like, wait, what does he know? What is going on here? Great scene. Horrifying scene. Everybody knows I have a problem with mouths as is. So when he's like grabbing his mouth. Oh my God,
when he's reaching down. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, thank you. But the fact that we know, right? Because whenever there's Gene Stealers, you know there has to be a person high up who's in on this.
Well, right. Because they talk about Gene Stealers there for not just like 10 years, but we're talking generations of people. So it totally makes sense that eventually, over time, because the Tyranids really have nothing but time, right?
Oh, yeah. They are an interesting juxtaposition to the Emperor's children, because the Emperor's children just consume, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're constantly chasing something, but they're very impatient. They want it now. Whereas, because they kind of talked about that with the Patriarch, where they were talking, and that really stood out to me too, when they were like, he's not lonely. He just constantly has this sense of longing,
mm-hmm.
right? Like longing for this and longing for that, because he's a Patriarch. He's just waiting for the time to be right. And it's a level of patience that I'm actually going to have to side with the Emperor's children here. I don't have. Not a long game type of person.
I always do wonder, though, like, if the Tyranids did attack the Emperor's children, would they taste bad? It just, you know, kind of makes me think about, you know, that one Dark Eldar that Slaanesh spit back out. It's like, bad taste.
Right. The Nids would just be like, no, what is in there? Like, that's all the drugs. The other thing, of course, that stood out to me that I really liked was when Gravemaker shows up. I'm just like, yeah, this, and we'll talk more about this in a bit, but I was like, yep, this is where we're at. This is where we're at. You, like, all I could think about was do you want ants? This is how you get ants. Like, do you want full-blown chaos invasion? This is how you get this. This is how all of a sudden the chaos gods are like, you know what? Yeah, screw them. We're going in. Corn. It's like, nah, I'm just not having any of this anymore.
Yeah, it was not a shock to me that a corn cult kind of showed up.
Yeah, and Sajanth was in on it. Kind of. Seen that, like... Okay, so we're going to talk more about her in a second. Let's talk about the question that we never knew we needed answered in our lives. What's worse, Gene Stealers or Emperor's children? I gotta go with Gene Stealers. Or sorry, I gotta go with Emperor's children being worse.
You know, I don't have an answer to that. And it's because It depends on what stage the gene stealers are here in. Because if it's like early on, you're really not going to be affected that much, right? Because you're going to die off before anything happens.
True.
I don't know, though. The full-on tyrannids come in, though. You got the
spores. But it's over in like... Yeah, but it's over in like a week.
I guess.
If nobody fights it, right? Like, it would be over in a week, and you would just be turned into mush and eaten. The Emperor's Children are gross.
Yeah, I guess I would have to go with the Emperor's Children.
And the flesh chairs. All I could think of in this book, y'all, was the movie that we quote oddly so much in this, which is Megamind. You've saved us. I wouldn't say saved. More like under new management. Like, talk about swapping the witch for the devil.
Right.
We're not going to be eaten by tyrannids. That's the good news.
But you know, one thing this really reminded me of a lot, I'm sure it did you too, was that one Warhammer Plus episode, the Hammer and Bolter. Remember when that was a thing, Hammer and Bolter? Remember?
What is this Hammer and Bolter you refer to?
I know. It was like every now and then. I know not. Really good animation, but the last animation that I remember they did was the one where the Eldari were invading this planet and they just called for help and it was the Iron Warriors that showed up. And that's what kind of this reminded me of, because like we talk about, with the Space Marines, that they're such myth and legend. And because no one's allowed to know about the nine legions that betrayed him, they just see these Space Marines and they're like, awesome! These are the actual angels. They are here to save us without knowing anything about them.
Oh god, I loved Iron Within, Iron Without. That was just his own standalone animation, and it was beautiful because, again, one of the things I'd even mused on when I watched it and I put in my review was that, what did that call to action look like? Was it summon the Fourth Legion and they will appear, and people were like, sounds good to me. Like, Fourth Legion, bring him in. I did like when Xantine, like, they don't even know how Space Marines are supposed to talk to you. So when he's like, well, what are you offering us?
Right, and they're like, wait,
that
what?
Should have been, yeah, they should have been like, nothing. Like, right, or when he says, the Emperor's Children will be down for you. I mean, sure, that checks out.
Oh, they're the Emperor's, angels. They're the Emperor's own children. This is great.
Right? Like, this checks out. They're the angels of the Emperor, the children of the Emperor.
Fair, there are so many different
chapters. My God. Like,
unless you have like your little lexicon, like, hold on a second, let me check it out. Emperor's children. Yeah, right. No one has that.
Right. And when they show up, because they are such myth, it's like, none of that seems right, but right. Can I make like a really stupid, like really superficial thing that drives me crazy? Is that the Emperor's Children are constantly described in the Warhammer 40K universes and the modern universes wearing like really garish pink armor, or like swirly pink and purple, or like just like garish colors, kind of the color of my lemonade over here, like lots of peachy tones and everything like that. And yet, all of the official art shows them wearing pre-heresy purple.
So I always kind of took this as pinkish purple, to be honest. Like when I think purple, I think of like the boots and his gauntlet over here. But like this mane is pinkish purple to me.
It's kind of magenta, but they always describe it as being like pastel pink.
Do they?
It is.
I guess I never noticed that.
It is
that.
Right.
I just always considered, I always thought it was pinkish purple. Because I think even the paint is a pinkish purple.
I think it is as well. But it, yeah, they usually describe them as wearing like pastels, because that's very much in Slaanesh's idiom. Which makes me think of the Addams Family values, pastels. One of my favorite scenes. The idea of them showing up though in their bright pink, right? We're immediately like, no. The one guy's face is melting. No, pink armor, melting face. Run. They don't know any better.
Well, who are they to, judge the Emperor's angels, right?
Right.
They don't know what magics the Emperor has put on them.
That's true. And let's be real. Let's be really real right now. This planet deserved either the Gene Stealers or the Emperor's Children.
Yeah, like, I mean, they were drug addicts to begin with. This is like, you know, the perfect place for the Emperor's children to hang out. Look, they grow weed here. This is amazing.
Did you know that they grow heroin? It's a giant poppy field. They had that, but then they also, like, you understood, again, this is yet another of the have-nots and the haves, mm-hmm. and the have-nots rising up, right, which is horrible and tragic, right? So, unfortunately, our lower sphere, our lower stratosphere of people have embraced the wrong saviors, which would have been horrible and awful, and everyone would have died, and it would have been absolutely terrible. But then you have this weird thing where the upper crust is like, oh, thank God, we stopped that. We're not all getting eaten. But we have embraced the entirely wrong saviors. And I'm going to be really honest with you. The upper crust definitely deserved either one.
Well, yeah.
These were not good or enjoyable nobles either.
Well, we so rarely come across good and enjoyable nobles, to be fair.
Okay, that is fair. That is actually very, very fair.
I mean, I also thought that, what's his name? Pyrod, however you want to say his name. I'll just say Pyrod.
So the audiobook said Piero.
Piero? Okay, fine. Piero.
Which I was like, weird flex, but okay.
He was, to me, like the exact epitome of what you think of with the upper crust. He had a big breakfast. He's bitching about it. He's mad about his manservant freaking out and leaving and like, oh my God, how dare he die on me? Like, now I have to take care of myself.
That was actually really funny to me. I want you to know that that shit was hilarious to me when he was talking with the Space Marines. And he was like, and the worst part is they killed Rogier.
Right? He's like, I'm going to need a new Rogier.
That was just funny to me. Because I was like, really? This is what we're worrying about right now? But again, it shows you how removed they are.
That is what they would worry about. That's 100% what they would worry. Like, where am I going to get my breakfast?
Right, exactly. Where am I going to get my last meal? What am I going to do here? What am I going to do there? They are so, so selfish. So selfish. Really, the only people in this entire book that I liked were Arkat and Cecily.
Same.
And even then...
Yeah, that like
Cecily.
I had a soft spot for Edward.
Yes, I will give you that too. I had a soft spot. There were a few characters that I was like, oh, just like Vavisk. Like I had a soft spot for him, but I wasn't sad,
right?
Necessarily,
I was sad with Arkat. Kind of when he started, when she was detecting the red on him, I was like, oh, well, I had a feeling a corn cult was showing up. Anyway, because Edward had already joined that cult of like oh, well, I'll donate blood if it means that I get my hit. Like, no,
well,
no,
and again,
no problem.
We're unhappy.
Exactly. So it made me sad then when he totally turned. And then he thinks that Cecily's been kidnapped and he just really just gives himself over to Corn. It's like, oh, you... poor idiot. You although, to be fair, friend. He was going to die anyway. So maybe his... I don't know if it's better because now he's not going to be in the Emperor's embrace, right? Because he let a blood letter. Or it was a bloodthirster? Bloodthirster. Whichever's the higher up. The named one. Let him
the
in.
Named one. Just had this up too.
I think it's
because
I think what, because he was, anyway, there was like little bitty ones and then there's the big one. One of them's the bloodletter, one's the bloodthirster.
Bloodletter was the smaller one. I can't think about this right now. I just remembered that his name, and I was like, that's a delightful name for a corn demon. It's
Gravemaker.
Not subtle.
Are they subtle?
No, not at all. I think. One of the things that added like a tragedy to this whole thing is that, again, okay, so you guys embraced the gene stealers, right? You embraced this cult that was going to bring you up to the Star Child. Okay, great. Awesome. Cool. Didn't work out. That didn't work because now because the Emperor's children are here. So then Korn is just like, oh, y'all are desperate and unhappy? Good news.
Like, it I just, also oh, man. Don't like the Slaanesh people.
I also don't like The Emperor's Children, and it's gonna work out fabulously for you. Again, as a reminder, nobody wants to live in the 40K universe. This shit is bonkers. We need to talk about this somewhat interesting thing here, though.
Mm.
This is the first, probably Primaris Marine we've seen out of Bill's lab. Thoughts? Opinions?
Yeah, I think he's a failure. I mean, he's not up to the Primaris standards, right? Because knowing Bill, he had to tinker, right?
That's exactly what I was thinking, is that you know that Bill isn't satisfied with it, right? And first off,
because he knows best.
Obviously.
He can totally take what the Emperor started and to make it better. What's so funny to me about Bill, and I have a sad thing as I've been thinking about this a lot ever since that book. Was that a Dawn of Fire book? I think it had been a Dawn of Fire book when Bill like practically kills Primus.
No, that was Gene Father. That was Call versus okay. Bill.
Wow, just shows like anyway. But I've been thinking about that a lot with that. Is that Bill thinks he knows how to create, but he really doesn't. All he does is just kind of modify a blueprint already made.
Right. And he.
But he thinks he's modifies. Such a genius about it, but he can't do anything on his own. If he could, then why would he need to take, you know, Call's plans?
Well, I used to joke that he was kind of the great value, but he's not even that. He's more like the aftermarket. Like, if anybody...
No, I'd say he's more the Chinese knockoff market.
For people who are of a certain age, he reminds me a little bit of MTV Pimp My Ride. Where they would be like, we put a coffee maker in your console! Why in the hell would I want a coffee maker in my console? Like, that was the stuff that they would do. There was one that I remember in particular. This one woman was a yoga instructor, and she had, I think it was a Suburban, and they like flattened out the back of the Suburban and put in wood panels and like basically made a yoga studio in the back of her Suburban for her. And I was like, under what circumstances, right? This was like in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Anyways, the point being, that's what Bill reminds me of, where he's like, yeah, I did all this stuff. Why? Who wants that? I don't know. It's better. Okay. Like, you do you, buddy.
Honestly, I think he's the Chinese knockoff version. It's just as good. And actually, right, it's a little bit better.
Just as good.
Because it's cheaper. Right.
It's cheaper and we have it. That's all I could think of is because they kept like he kept the author kept dropping some little like, something's not right here. Something's not quite. This is not quite as good as what the Imperium is getting right now. One of the things that I found really interesting was he talked about how perfect he looked, like how painfully symmetrical his face was, how much he looked like Fulgrim, how much. He just
Which makes
seemed
me
like
actually wonder if Bill like didn't really try that hard not to let him go because he came out looking like Fulgrim. It's like, you know what? I can't deal with this right now.
Yeah. Or if he's trying to like do some sort of Primaris clony hybrid, because like,
who knows?
One of the things, because they even talk about this in this book, was how in the heresy, the pre-heresy era, we see a lot of the Space Marines really resembled their Primarch.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them uncannily so, right? Little Horus.
Little Horus Haxamand.
Exactly. Little Horus, the fact that they kept mentioning how much he looked like Fulgrim. Until he didn't. Why? Well, okay, you guys, I have discovered through Warhammer 40K, I have discovered a new dislike and just meh trigger moment. Noses. Why does everyone have their nose cut off when they were talking about what's her name? It started with an R.
Raydrin.
When he's talking about her and how she it was like the audiobook.
I mean,
by
how
the way.
Bad does that have to smell? He'd be like, you know what? I don't need this anymore.
I just don't need this anymore. Just get rid of it. The audiobook guy definitely gave her a really nasally voice because she wouldn't have had a nose.
Oh, right.
She
would really, have sounded like of, this a lot of the time.
Yes, exactly yeah. like that.
It was really kind of funny. I was like, oh, at first it kind of irritated me, but then I was like, oh, I mean, she's missing her nose. But it, like, I read those scenes and like when he emerges and they talk about how his ears are like little nubs and he's missing his nose. I'm just like, I don't even like my nose. I like it more than that. People are gross.
I mean, there's like other ways you could lose your sense of smell besides just cutting off your nose. Just saying.
It's called Flonase. Anyways, if we have it, they have something like it. I think what's interesting about the Primaris Marine is that like he's special. They have the one. He's special. He's noteworthy, right? Because he is this new special thing out of Bill. So it makes you wonder, is Bill like, is he like rationing them? He like shows up at warbands and he's like, you get one.
Or he, honestly, these could be prototypes.
They really could be prototypes. You're not wrong. They could be.
I mean, to be fair, everything is a prototype to Bill.
True.
He never gets out of the MVP phase. For too long. Oh, yeah. No, he's always in the alpha and beta phases.
Yeah, his agile methodologies are really bad. it's just not good. So
can you imagine his Jira?
Oh my god, it's just like abandoned project after abandoned project. Remember when the Newmen were a thing? Pepperidge Farms remembers. They
might have gone the way with Josh Reynolds.
I hope they don't take Clone Grim from us.
Oh, I bet they need that. I need Clone Grim. I need him to appear in front of his brothers because that'll just be delightful.
I need that in my life, and I need the Anchorite, of course.
Mm.
Those are my two things that you can take everything else, but don't take those. I need them in my life. I have to wonder, though, like, how is he doling this stuff out? And you could be right. These could be prototypes. Maybe he's giving just enough to keep Abaddon happy. Maybe he's either kind of slipping through the cracks. I don't know. Like, I guess my biggest question is, I was like, yeah, but why does this warband have one?
Well, it sounds like they took him.
Pretty much. But, like, you would think, and they only have the one, just one. I guess that's all they could shoplift.
Maybe.
Little magpies. I feel as though I would like to start seeing more of them. One of my big concerns about the Primaris Marines was that I'm worried that they're going to become like, you know, super common in the Traitor Legion. So I actually liked just seeing the one. It was kind of nice.
That Bill's going to mess this up somehow.
I'm dying to know. So for people who have watched the Fallout TV series, there is a scene where our heroine is in vault number 4 and she's talking with another vault member and the vault member says, what was the experiment in your vault? Anybody who's played Fallout knows exactly what that means, right? And she's like, there was no experiment. And she's like, oh, but there was. I felt that way reading this book where I was like, where's your tinker? Like, where did he tinker with you? No, he didn't. Oh, but he did. And the fact that the demon wanted him so badly made me like, I think maybe there is something going on there.
She might just even notice that he's like, well, he's bigger, better, faster, stronger.
Right. Which then brings me back to Xanthine in general. Xanthine was kind of delightful. I want to move into like his whole warband. Xanthine in general was somewhat delightful because I liked how delusional he was. While also being somewhat candid, right? Where he's like, oh, we had to run away from Abaddon. Like, we had to run away from them. But it was really the best thing that could have happened to us because we're just better than they are.
He was so deluded by everything. It was just amazing.
Even when the demon is sitting there telling him when she's like, oh, yeah, you were ridiculous, by the way. I'm going with this guy. And he's just like, because I was too strong for you.
Right.
Okay, sure, Jan. He had quite the little band of hedonists, though.
Yes.
Did you like any of them other than Vivek?
Nope.
Shoot. Vavisk. I keep wanting to call him Vivek because Bethesda has been on my mind lately. Mm. Vavisk. Other than Vavisk.
No. I didn't care about heroin addict. About Sarquil or, you know, Arakan or I don't remember the other guy's name.
The Lordling. Mm-mm. Which is a weird name, too, by the way. Totally within their idiom, but I was just kind of like, meh? The word bearer.
Oh, right.
I always find it interesting.
He did not deserve that, though.
He did not. I actually, if I had to pick to one of the repugnant guys, I actually probably liked him the best. He
was honest.
He was very honest, and I cannot remember the name of the Diabolist from Bill's books too. But remember, he had that X word bearer who was a demon hunter, basically. Like
bomb attached to him.
Yes, that would be the one. He was a delightful character, actually, and he really grew on you. And I hate the word bearers, but as a group. But I've decided that singularly, they're not terrible.
I kind of like how him and the guy from the Bill book, they're kind of like Pokemon trainers.
Yeah. 100%. And I also like how, when they were talking about coming down to the planet, and he's just like, oh my God, there's going to be so much for me to study. This is amazing.
Mm-hmm. He just wanted his little lab.
He just wanted a lab. He just wanted to live a quiet, peaceful life, cataloging and studying demons. And yet, they mention that he had gone so deep into the Slaanesh hole, phrasing, that even the word bearers were like, no. So they didn't really explore that as much as I would have liked to in this book.
Right.
I guess what I'm saying is, what does it take? Like, what is the line you have to cross for the word bearers to be like, dude, that's messed up?
I wonder if it's because he devoted too much to Slaanesh, since they're very much on the chaos undivided. We have to do everything equally.
Mm-hmm.
Especially them. Like, they are, I can't even call them chaos undivided because they're like the chaos equalizers. Because, you know, if you think about, like, the Iron Warriors Chaos Undivided, or, you know, Alpha Legion Chaos Undivided, or what's the other one that's Chaos Undivided? Oh, like the Night Lords. They don't worship them, though, right? They just kind of, like, use it, whereas the Word Bearers outright worship it, and they're very careful that everyone gets its own equal share. So that's the
thing. They really talked about that in Apocalypse. You remember that one scene in Apocalypse where they were talking about how they had to get... Which is great when they talked about how they had to get, like, they were trying, I think it was going through the warp, or they were trying to get some type of warp blessing.
They had like four little altars, and they had the skulls.
Equal,
and
yeah. Yes. Yeah. And everything had to be equal.
Mm-hmm.
They're like chaos communists. It's not your worship, it's our worship.
I guess. That's an interesting way of putting it. But like,
straight up referring to them as that from now on going forward, just to be clear.
So that's something I could think of, is that he got too close to the Slaanesh, and they're like, whoa, 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 you're not loving everybody equally.
Well, and I think there's also just that concept that he drew extreme pleasure from the cataloging and the study and the hunting and the observing, like... There was probably a little bit, that was probably his gateway drug into Slaanesh, was that there was a lot of pleasure in the knowledge there. Mm. Which...
Which crap, you wouldn't, I mean, I would think that Zine should be like, what's up?
You would think so, right? Where he's just like, really? You just want all the knowledge? But maybe it was that pleasure thing. Because like, the way that they describe him reacting to stuff, I was like, oh, kind of creepy. I don't know that I've ever read a book that made me feel like that. But he was probably the closest that I liked, and he definitely got done dirty.
Well, because he didn't betray Xantine at all. He was following orders, was literally following orders. How is he supposed to know whether it was Xantine or the demon? As far as he knew, orders were orders.
That demon. Let's talk about our demon friend, shall we?
I was going to say, like, when the Nurgling's coming towards him, he's like, oh, I apologize. I am so sorry. I'll do whatever. Just don't let me die like that. I was like, oh, man, dude, have a heart. Like, of all the things for a word bearer, like, nobody wants that.
No. Literally nobody wants that. Not even the Death Guard, I don't think.
No.
They just, like, keep them as pets and hug them.
Right, but they don't want this thing coming at them like that. No.
No, 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 no.
I just cracked me up, and he was like, okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll do whatever.
Sajanth was an interesting character. I could never get my feelings on her. So in the beginning, she's just kind of like this lustful little slaneshy demon, right? And you're just like, oh, okay, let's see what's going on here. You have found a puppet, right? Because I don't think anybody thought that they were actually equal or that she actually admired him. Mortals are mean to an end, right? I thought her reaction to the patriarch was interesting. When she was just like, run, 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 run. And he's like, I won't run for this thing. Dude, patriarchs are like strong and shit.
Well, see, and I didn't get it at first. I was like, what do you care if he dies? He'll just go find somebody else. So it wasn't until the end when I realized, oh, wait, Hel'Dari done fucked her up good. So if she does die, that's it.
Right. She was, and again, if you would have told me that, I would have been emotionally invested. Like, I mean, emotionally invested is probably not the right word, but that was interesting. Like, you learn it and you're like, oh, there's a layer to her. I don't like her, but she's well developed. She's not just there like, rawr, I'm a demon, which is the noise that
I bet the Tyranid spit her out. Taste bad. Oh, crap. What does that do for them, though?
I would expect nothing. Well, I don't know. Like, they would get, obviously, his biomass, but when she's gone, because then she would vanish, right? She would poof.
I guess because she has no she lost her corporeal form.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they couldn't eat her. I was just like, oh, crap, would the Tyranids eat like a demon? Like, what would that do? I guess nothing.
I guess nothing. And even if it was the corporeal form, do you remember and I'm not saying that he's the gospel, but do you remember in the Black Legion book when the World Eater grabs one of the Neverborn and like eats it? And what's his face? Iskander Kane is like, you know, those have like no nutritional value, right? And the guy's just like, I just want to shit it out.
I don't remember but that's funny.
I absolutely love I have discovered that I love the World Eaters whenever, especially when ADB writes them. I just love them because they're just big, stupid rage monsters and I love them to death. They are simple people. It's not their fault. Kind of is their fault. But anyways, it's not important right now. I would imagine that that would be similar. Like the Tyranids would eat them and just be like, meh. I can't even think if we eat anything like
that. I'm just thinking because they get that collective knowledge and power. Like, would they get that?
Would it just pass through them? Like,
what would that do?
I don't know. Is it because, like, once you start eating the corporeal form, it's really more just like a shell?
I don't know.
It's like eating the eggshell. Oh.
Interesting ideas, I guess. Except that if you go down that road, that just makes the Tyranids more, like, impossible to beat, right?
Right, which has long been one of my complaints about them for a hot minute here, is that...
they are the rocks fall, everybody dies.
Pretty much. They are starting to get to that.
Until the Tyranids show up.
But yeah, I was... Sajanth, we'll talk about that here in a second, where she goes versus where Xantine goes. Poor Cecily. She fucked up. She trusted them.
She trusted them.
Did you feel bad for her?
I did because she just kept getting used, right? Because first, you know, Sarquil was using her and she just wanted out, right? And I think, the more I think about it now, she was looking forward to the Star Child coming, right? And so she just was still chasing that dream of seeing the Star Child, except that you don't really know exactly what that entails. It doesn't matter. She just wanted to go. I think almost seeing the Star Child might have been a blessing compared to what she is now. Because that sucks.
For people who saw the movie Blade, the one vampire, I can't remember his name right now, but he's like the archivist. He keeps all the records. It's been
so long since I saw it.
Yeah, he's literally just like a blob of flesh with a face, and they kind of torture him with a UV light. That's all I could picture when they were describing their navigator, this lump of flesh, and like the lady's like poking him with her stick and just that was the scene when the word bearer was like, oh my God, you should have seen when her soul died. That was amazing. Like, dude, the ship is dead. You don't have to have a heart, but at least be like, you know, I have a little bit of self-preservation here right now. And that's what that scene was. I felt bad for Cecily because that's probably her future. And I felt so bad when Xantine gets rid of Phaedra, right? Because she, and he's just like, oh yeah, she just wanted to use you for the ship. And Cecily's like, oh, thank God. And he's like, I mean, I do too.
I mean, unfortunately, she's right. Because we can't stay here anymore because I kept the patriarch for reasons. Honestly, I love the fact that he was just like, well, if I can't have this world, no one can.
Oh my God. He was literally just like, flip the game board.
Right? Breaking the
toys. Taking the toys and so I'm the leaving.
Kids couldn't play. It's like, screw you guys. I'm going home.
It's actually the type of spiteful childishness that I was like, this is all on brand.
Right.
So, okay, for Cecily, you're right. I just felt bad for her. She just wanted to get off the planet.
She wanted to see the stars. Well, now you do, hun.
Yeah, just be careful what you ask for. Mm-hmm. Part of me, like the inquisitorial part of me is coming out and I'm just like, yeah, you shouldn't have fucking trusted them. They were obviously messed up. They were obviously evil, but you wanted to get off of your planet so damn badly. It was fine. I'm going to get off this planet. It's fine.
Well, the grass wasn't talking to her anymore because that's not weird.
Well, as soon as she was talking about the grass talking to her, I was like, ooh, psycher much? And then when she kind of commanded that one guy in the beginning to not attack her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's our psyker. Oh, there's who they're going to replace the navigator right. with. I was rooting for her. I was rooting for her. And it just didn't really work.
Well, I mean, when the patriarch died and she's like, I can't hear the grass anymore. I was like, oh, hon.
Baby doll, the grass was never talking to you.
No, it was never talking.
What life do you have that the grass just, I mean, it just talks to you? I guess if it had been doing it since it was a child, you would just be like, I mean, as one does, you talk to the grass. Doesn't the grass
talk to you?
Don't make it weird. Like... poor Cecily is all I can say. Ugh, she was the one character that I was kind of rooting for, even though I was like, you dumb bastard.
I just wanted her and Arkat to be together.
And not just sit there and witness him turn into a giant corn demon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a... This is how a typical romance ends in the Warhammer 40k universe. Again, as one does... So the ending, basically, we've kind of touched on this. The ending basically devolves into, like, absolute chaos. Like, everybody's dead. People are starving. The city is on fire. Corn is here. It just, like, everything explodes.
The Tyranids are here.
The Nids are here. And I know you kind of touched on this earlier, but, like, this is just what happens when you leave the Emperor's children to rule a planet.
Yes. This is, like, 100%, like, what I was expecting. Because I was thinking, like, when he wanted to stay, I was like, you're trying to rebuild Canticle City. That's exactly what this is. The same way that we saw in Josh Reynolds' books with, you know, Demon Fulgrim, who was constantly mm-hmm. replaying his Battle of Chemos. You know, it's just the idea that we just, And I could totally have seen Fulgrim, you know, if they got to retire in glory, he also would have wanted that big palace right next to Dad, because he's the one with the Palatine Phoenix, right? He's the one that gets to wear that. So obviously, Father loved him best. But he would want something grand, and it'd have to be perfect. And, you know, probably the art gallery. He would probably just go and take everybody's art. Be his museum, his art gallery. Like, he and Trazen would be, like, fighting later for who had the best stuff.
Behold my stuff.
Exactly. That's really how I imagine Trazen. And Fulgrim.
Pretty much.
And if he could have, could have retired in glory.
Fulgrim reminds me, like, I think Fulgrim would very much be that kind of Donald Trump / Kim Kardashian, everything's gilded, and we've literally gilded the lily at this point, so it's actually gone round the horn from being classy just to straight up tacky.
Like Vanilla Ice's houses that he does?
Yes, exactly. Where you're just like, oh.
Like, some of the stuff is really cool, but then when you see the cabinets with the door, with, like, the cabinet handles that have, like, the inlaid diamonds in or rhinestones in it, I'm like, what? Because I can think of is, that would get so dirty and they'd be so hard to clean.
Oh my God, you would need a toothbrush. Right? Yeah, it's that kind of stuff where you're just like, I think that would have been him. And he never would have found it, right? And I think we see that, to your point, I think we see that constantly played out with the Emperor's children. They're just constantly, they're all basically drug addicts. They're chasing something.
Trying to find that high. Whatever makes them happy.
They'll never get it. Mm-hmm. They'll never get it. And they're all so high on this sense of self, the self of importance. Yes, and this,
right.
Oh, like when he was.
The celebration, he's like, they're not happy? Like, what?
Right.
I don't understand.
What do you mean they're not happy? Well, for me, it was more like when he was kind of musing back before the heresy. Right? Take the drugs, my guys. Come on. The thing that really struck me was when he was kind of musing before the heresy, and he's like, we were always the best legion. Like, we were more cultured. We were more artistic. We were just better. They really are the deluded aristocrat legion of just, we're just better than everyone else. No, I'm afraid you're not, my friends.
Well, that was actually one of the big things. So, like, you know, with me reading the heresy, one of the early books, you know, before Horus turned. So it might have been actually the second book, actually, because it's when they're on the planet Murder and they have to rescue the Blood Angels, because the Blood Angels are getting obliterated on this planet from gigantic spider demon things. Like, why, McNeil, why? But, and the whole time they're just like, well, your Primarch may be just beautiful, but obviously you guys can't function without our help. You know, it's just very much that, like, of course we're here to save the day. Like, I don't know what you guys are thinking. And it was even in Ferris Manus's Primarch novel, one of the Emperor's children was kind of like, I don't know, like an exchange student with his legion. And this guy who's a swordsman, because that's just what the Emperor's children do, was like besting all of Ferris Manus's guys, like, in the combat ring. And he was getting pissed about it. He's like, why do you have to beat everybody? Like, why can't you just be here to help us? And he's like, I'm trying to teach you the perfect way of doing things. And there was actually a reason for that, because we had Ferris Manus's, the Iron Fists would just be an Iron Fist and just, you know, strike hard and be blunt objects about it, where he's trying to teach them the finesse and the art of strategy. But he was such an arrogant ass about it that nobody wanted to listen to him. And so that's kind of the same thing. So I did like his introspective on that, on how they were, but I also really, really enjoyed when Sejanth was like, you guys are the foundations of betrayal. And he was like, nah. And then he's thinking about what his father did. And how he goes back to that scene where his father is sobbing, cradling Ferris Manus's head. And he says, what have I done? And Xantine's first thought is, you've doomed us all.
Yes. And it's just this weird It's like this inlaid arrogance with the Emperor's children.
This was just right for Slaanesh to come in.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Like, just absolutely, absolutely was the Legion that is one of the reasons that I say, like, I think that he was fated to go to that world for the Lair Blade. Like, they were just, they were just the ripe ground for them, right? Like, I mean, obviously we talk about the world eaters and how they pretty much had corn written all over them. These little rangy monster boys. Totally fine, right? And obviously Tzeentch, like, it was very, very much a natural fit for the Thousand Sons because they were already super into all of that stuff. The Emperor's children, just, they were that fertile breeding ground for Slaanesh. They were already kind of leaning that way, right? It's why you can't trust artists, am I right? it wasn't just that portion of it. It was that arrogance, but also a lot of that arrogance was birthed from I don't want to say an inferiority complex, but a very much, they were arrogant, but then also very fragile egos, right? Which, and you can see that with Xantine.
What Josh Reynolds' Fulgrim Primarch novel, not Graham McNeil's, but Josh Reynolds, the Primarch series, really touched on, was how fragile Fulgrim's ego was. And how, because Leman Russ liked to just poke at it, but he's like, oh, well, you know, you about killed like half of your legion. So do you think you can really do this like on your own, or do you need our help? And it almost got Fulgrim killed because of his pride.
Right. And it just, you see that with a lot of the other Primarchs, just kind of like, dude, what's with you? Like, he was always a little, there's that vanity, that pride, right? But also this inferiority or this brokenness in them. Mm-hmm. Sorry, it's spring and everything wants to kill me.
Well, I'll be glad that you're not down here right now, because right now it looks like it's constantly snowing outside because the cottonwoods blossoms.
Cottonwood is literal kryptonite to me. They've actually outlawed it here in Colorado, thank God. But my parents used to live near a golf course where it grew, and so it would look like it was snowing in my eyes. Like, my whole face would just be like, for like a month. It was, don't talk to me about cottonwood. Like, I'm itchy thinking about cottonwood.
There was one windy day I was taking the kids to school. So it was windy, right? I swear to God, I was like, is this what a blizzard is like? Just with flowers? Because it was so much.
Oh, it is terrible. If y'all have never been around cottonwoods, consider yourselves lucky. Anyways, let's talk about, where does Xantine go next?
Finds another world he can try to rule, start all over again.
Holy shit, it's just going to be rinse and repeat, isn't
it? Yeah, because they're right, and they have the perfect method. Maybe he needs to refine it, make it more perfect, but he has the right way of doing things. I don't know how he's going to do it with just like a few of them.
Maybe I'm sure he's going to stumble across.
Yeah, another warband along the way.
He's going to stumble across some lost assholes who were like, we kind of need somewhere to go. And he's like, I can promise you all these great things. Does he find another demon friend? Or do you think maybe he's learned that lesson?
Oh, he's not learned that lesson. The demon left him because he was too strong for it. The demon couldn't handle him because he, and in a way, that was partly right, because he never let her have full control 100% of the time.
Whereas that is, you know, true.
Like, Arakan was just like, sweet, you want to take over? Let's go on ahead.
Yeah, that could be. There was definitely he liked maintaining that control. He did have a strong personality in that way. I don't know. But is there an emptiness to him? Is there going to be that? Because the demon probably helped him a little bit be in control, because there's a little error of unpredictability. But I'm sure he's going to just along the way, just like pick up little lost followers who are like, yeah, sure, lead us to a good time, my guy.
Right.
And give it 30, 40, 50, maybe even 100 years, he'll have another warband and they'll go to some other planet and they will rinse and repeat. Because did I ever tell you the definition of insanity?
And all they need to do is go find another aggro world.
That's been cut off from the Imperium because of the rift and is growing drugs.
Yeah.
Like, again, you have a legion of drug addicts who found the planet of poppies. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Why not?
I mean, honestly, if I was in that Undercity, I might have been hooked on drugs, too.
Yeah. It sounds like it takes a lot of substances to get through life in the Warhammer 40K universe. Let's just be real.
Yep. Another reason why I don't want to visit. I'm good. I'm good being in the past.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. I'm all the way good. It's one of those, that's still one of my favorite memes when people talk about like the universes they want to travel to. And Warhammer 40K fans are like, no.
No.
Oh, God, no.
No.
No. And of course, I mean, the drug addicts, the Emperor's children take it to obscene levels, right? But yeah, he's got himself. I mean, he has the two things he needs, really, right? He has somebody who can kind of running his ship, and then he's got a navigator. So the sky's the limit, my guy. And then he can kind of like how Radron's just like, again.
I really don't care who's leading as long as I'm flying the ship. So.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed in Phaedra when she was just like, oh, no. I found a new leader. I was like, oh, come on, girl. He treated you well enough.
I mean, he did for most of the time. It's just because he got a second psyker. She was just like, what?
How dare. I can sniff people?
I mean, look. He could have used both. So easily. I mean, because obviously Cecily was going to be like part of the ship now. And so
he had a navigator before and Phaedra didn't have a problem with it. So then he gets replacement navigator and she's like, it's intolerable.
Honestly, I think it was because he decided, no, I'm not going to use her for that because he didn't want to go anywhere. And she was like, excuse me. So I'm going to be replaced. Again, pettiness.
Yes, and they are just a legion of petty, petty people.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. And they're just kind of awful.
They're kind of the legion of the bored rich people.
They really are. But, like, I mean, they are literally hedonists. Just. Oh, yeah. Whew. And it just kind of makes them gross, and it makes them so anathema to all of the other Space Marines, right? Even, again, going back to, like, the whole, like, but the word bearers having all of everything being equal with their chaos communism, bringing it in, I'm making it happen. they're not that gross. I like when you have me preferring the Death Guard. Problem.
Those people
are literally vomit and poop people.
I don't know. I kind of put them on the same level of just grossness.
You're not. If I had to pick one, though.
I mean, if I had to pick one, it'd be Khorne, man, because at least I wouldn't become, like, super ugly until I gave myself over to a demon.
Right. I am definitely, like, Khorne's definitely at the top of that list, but I have to say, like, if my options are Slaanesh or Nurgle.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
Oh.
Maybe Slaanesh, because at least I'd be happy. Or I think I'd
maybe. Maybe. Maybe, but I don't do pain. Like, I jacked up my toes the other day, and I was pretty much down for the count for the whole day. You know what? Things are done. There's no pleasure in this. They're so whiny. Oh, God, they're so whiny. But then the Nurgle guys are mopey.
Right.
Whoa, they're like, Eeyore, I lost my tail.
There's really no good options with any of this.
No. I will say, though, like, okay, I went into this book super, super skeptical. I was like, oh, great, damn, first children.
Same here.
It was much more enjoyable and fun than I thought it was going to be. I didn't like any of the characters, but I also don't think I was supposed to. I think
if you were an Emperor's Children fan, you might have been a fan of some of the characters. I honestly was kind of hoping everybody would die at the end.
I was, okay. In some ways, I was like, oh, Xanthine, you... sneaky little rat you, the fact that he gets off of the planet and he's going to go off and he's going to do this whole thing again, right? But part of me was also kind of disappointed. Like, I was legit hoping for giant asteroid. Or just like a random exterminatus.
Inquisition happens to sail by. I was like, oh, oh, oh no.
It's like, holy God. What is going on there?
Because nobody expects the Inquisition.
Just that you just like look at it and you're just like, click, click, click. Multiple. I just like to imagine that the exterminatus is one button, y'all.
It's like, big. It's big and red.
Obviously. Like it's like to, the staples easy button.
Yeah, but it's like covered with like a glass case that everyone has to turn their key to get it open.
Oh no. I don't even picture that. I picture it more just like a button that they just clunk. I'm sure that probably is the truth. But I am excited for our next book, which hopefully will be a little bit nicer and easier than having to read about hedonistic space marines. We are returning to Catachan, and I think actually, if I'm not mistaken, this is Nids again. It is Nids again.
Dang it.
It's the Catachan. It's kind of their idiom.
Yeah.
Death Worlder by Victoria Hayward. So more Catachan, more Nids. That's less awesome, but...
One of the guys in our Discord said he's really having a lot of fun with this book.
Oh, good. Well, that's exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that'll be in... You know what? It just dawned on me. We did a podcast tonight on May 1st, and I didn't even make my "it's gonna be May" reference. Anyways, I have shared so many Justin Timberlake memes today, it's not even funny. Anyways, we will be going into mid-May with Death Worlder, which is actually kind of nice because we'll be reading about the jungle denizens where it's hot and sweaty, but we won't be in like the summer itself. This might be a good beach read, though. Not gonna lie to you. But new books are good books.
New books are good, but because I don't think we have anything for a while.
Well, it's really hard to tell because the Black Library publishing schedule is like, oh, hey, guess what? A book's coming out next week.
Right.
Sorry, what? But, okay.
But let's say there's nothing.
I'm so much about this.
I guess it'd be Salamanders after this because we just did. Right? It'd be the second Salamanders book. Night Lords.
Yeah, that would make sense. I think it is the second Salamanders book. So we have stuff to read. Yeah, we have Night Lords, Salamanders, and
well, I mean, just like Yarrick. The last ones, we were like two Night Lords books in a row.
That's true. So, join us again for some Catachan. You want to take us out, Carrie?
Catachan. Cha-cha-cha. All right, so you've listened to the Warhammer 40K Book Club episode regarding Renegades, Lord of Excess by Rich McCormick. Be sure to join us next time for Death Worlder by Victoria Hayward. And just so you guys know, we chose these drinks on purpose because we need a pinkish purple drink to go with a pinkish purple book. It's actually kind of tasty tonight, having a nice lavender lemonade.
The Mangonada lemonade is back at Dutch Brothers. If you have Dutch Brothers next to you, get you one because it has tahine in it and it's delicious.
Oh, I just got a mouthful of lavender with that one. But all right, we are an official book club and not affiliated with the Black Library or any of its affiliates. You can find both the vidcast and podcast on our website, whk40kbookclub.com. If you like this episode, please like, subscribe, and all those good things to the vidcast on YouTube and the podcast, literally anywhere you get podcasts. And come join our Discord. Have a good time in there. We tell jokes. A lot of people are sharing their paintings. It's like it's amazing, these models, these little armies everyone's been sharing. It's been a lot of fun to see. You don't see mine because I'm not talented and I don't paint. But our site also has articles about adventures and reading other Warhammer 40K books and short stories outside of the book club books. So please stay a while and read from a crack. And even though I didn't really use this water bottle tonight, I'm still off Aries.
After spending the last 2 weeks reading about the Emperor's children, I am definitely iron within, iron without. They don't do this stuff, okay? Yeah, they do some freaky stuff with, like, demon birther things, like, birthing people. Like, okay, and I'm not going to say that that's not gross.
Well, they're gross, but they're not themselves personally. They're not flesh chair gross.
They're not drug addicts, y'all.
Well, that's true. They are not.
Anyways.
We gotta take our chaos lords. You know, they're not as chaosy as some others.
That's right. They're less chaosy than the chaosy people.
Yes, this is true. This is very true. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
The Warhammer 40K Book Club is hosted by Jen Bozier and me. Recording and editing of both the vidcast and podcast were done by me. The book club questions and discussion format were done by Jen, and all of our music is by Jingle Punks. The Warhammer 40K Book Club is a Warhammer LLC production. This is a Voxcast that even he, Cato Sicarius, would approve.